Hello, this is the Trimmed Down podcast version of Tracks of My Life with me, Toby Davey. To catch all my guests' music tracks in full, do listen in to the hour-long version on RNIB Connect Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m, repeated Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life. From maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest today is historian of the Ottoman Empire and disability consultant Yusuf Osman. For Yusuf's chosen tracks, we go on a journey from time at Dorton House School for blind and partially sighted children, feeling slightly out of place, being one of the only pupils at the school whose parents came from a different country. Time listening to cassette tapes of Turkish artists from his homeland on family car journeys, including trips to and from boarding school at Worcester College with his dad. Then to a couple of rock tracks, one marking A-level time at Worcester College and the other a very powerful track that means a lot to Yusuf when he was going through a slightly difficult time while studying at Harvard, and a track all about a 9th century Greek Orthodox abbess whose life has meaning and relevance for us today. Hello Yusuf, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello Toby, thanks for having me on.
So, Yusuf, was it an easy task selecting your tracks?
No, I have to say I spent a good 2 or 3 days going through my memory and checking my memory against the music collection that I have. And I went through loads of, particularly the Turkish tracks and the Greek track that I've chosen, trying to find the original albums from which they came, because as we'll become clear later, listening to the tapes as we did in the 80s and the 90s on my dad's car cassette player, we got used to songs coming in a certain order. So he'd stick the cassette in, we'd get it from beginning to end, and usually a second time and a third time, depending on how long the journey was. So I had to go back and find either those original cassettes or digitized versions of those cassettes. So it took some time, but eventually I found the tracks that I wanted and evoked the strongest memories.
And your first track does take you back to those school days. And I think you were the only one of few children at the school who were from families from other countries. What were sort of school days like for you?
Well, on one level, they were absolutely wonderful, because I was at Dorton House, which many of the listeners will know. It was a big country house with a separate school building, huge grounds, trees to climb, lots of toys outside to play with. We had a boat and a train. But on another level, I felt very different to everybody else, because although we were all blind or partially sighted, I was the only one whose family was from a different country. So every time somebody said my name, you know, in the roll call, it would be Osman. And that was not like Smith or Jones or any of the other English or Scottish names that were called out. So I always felt slightly different. And then this music teacher who tried to teach me piano, Jill Smith, who some of your listeners will probably remember, she played this piece of music, which is Mozart's Rondo alla Turca. And I, at the time, thought, this doesn't sound Turkish at all. And of course, as my musical knowledge has increased, I've kind of discovered that there are Turkish rhythms there. But she didn't just teach me the piano, because I gave that up, but she taught me Braille music. And a few years later, she gave me a couple of cassettes of Turkish folk music. She was a big fan of all kinds of music, particularly classical music, but she went out of her way to find some music that she thought, because of my cultural background, my family are from Cyprus, we're from the Turkish community, to kind of keep my interest in music. She went out and bought these cassettes for me, which is, you know, really wonderful of her.
And in that classical music track, the Mozart track, you say there are elements of Turkish sort of music in there and rhythm and stuff, which is sort of, when you first listen, you probably think, no, there isn't, but that you can hear it, can't you?
Yes, once you know it's there, it's particularly with the beat underneath. But if you have the opportunity to do a search on YouTube, and I can't remember what it is, I've been trying to find it. There was a 18th century piano which had little levers and pulleys that would recreate the sound of a triangle which came from the Ottoman marching bands that would go with the Ottoman army. Something that sounded a bit like a cymbal, and something that sounded a bit like a deep Ottoman drum. So you'd get a sort of a bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, which was the sound that an Ottoman janissary, that was the elite Ottoman troops, what their band would might have sounded like with that rhythm. And you get that underneath the Ronda alla Turca. It's a lovely piece of music.
Mozart's Ronda alla Turca there, and memories of school for you, Yusuf. Your next track, I think, is one which was a favourite of your grandparents, and one that you listened to quite a number of times on cassettes, as we mentioned before. What was it about this piece of music, and sort of what time in your life does it take you back to?
So we used to go and visit my uncle in North London, which is quite a long car journey. It could be anything from 50 minutes on a Sunday to an hour and a half if we hit the traffic. And this next track it's called Gülüm Benim, which is My Rose, and it's by a singer, İbrahim Tatlıses. And he's a Turkish singer of Kurdish origin. His family came from southeastern Anatolia to Istanbul. He's a good 60, 70 years old, so this would be in the 50s or 60s. And the genre that this fits into is called arabesque. And you'll hear there's lots of violins, lots of Arabic sounding music. There's lots of ornamentation. The music is very nostalgic. It's also, arabesque is also very filled with pain and suffering. But this particular track is a lively piece of music. It was the first track on the cassette. This is the title track of the Gülüm Benim album. And it was quite a upbeat way to begin a car journey. And, you know, you would have an upbeat track followed by a slow track, followed by another upbeat track. And every time the cassette finished, we knew what was coming and we'd all start singing to it. My great-grandmother, I think, introduced me to İbrahim Tatlıses. Her and I would sit together and she would describe films, Turkish films. She didn't speak very much English and my Turkish wasn't that great, but somehow we'd sit there and we'd watch these films with İbrahim Tatlıses, who's a singer and an actor, including his music in the films, and she would tell me what was going on. And they were always about gangsters, people falling in love with the wrong people, being hunted down by the father of the woman that he loved, heartbreak. The music is just so evocative of those times with my great-grandmother and the times in the car. And also, I mean, when I was on holiday in Cyprus, my grandmother in Cyprus would have the radio on and we listened to some of this music as well. I actually saw İbrahim Tatlıses live in concert in 1997 in Turkey. It was in a Roman amphitheater, and he was as good live as, in fact, he was better live than on the cassettes. I mean, he was good on the cassettes, but seeing somebody live is just wonderful, especially in that environment. It was the highlight of that particular holiday.
And when you did see him in concert, I think it was the same time as you got your A-level results, which were not as you expected them to be, I think.
No, they were not as I hoped. Here comes one of those bad memories. I had to ring. I was at RNIB New College Worcester then. And we were, because I was in Turkey, I had to ring them from a call box in Turkey. And I got told I'd got a B in history and two C's in politics and sociology. Now, that doesn't sound too bad with hindsight, but at the time, I'd been predicted an A and two B's. So I was really disappointed. It didn't make any difference to getting into university because I'd got my place at Manchester already sorted. But I kind of thought I should have done better and I could have done better. I think what happened was in my second year of Worcester, so like a lot of people, I went to Worcester for A-levels and it took me around a year to kind of settle in and find my feet. And in my second year, I spent more time with the friends I'd made at Worcester than perhaps I should have done, and less time concentrating on my A-levels. But it just goes to show, you know, since then I've gone on, I got my degree, got my master's and a PhD. So just to say, if anyone's listening who's worried about their A-levels or thinks they didn't do terribly well in their A-levels, it isn't necessarily the end of the world.
Ibrahim Tatlıses there, and memories for you, Yusuf, of time growing up and A-levels and actually ending up with a PhD, which is not too bad, I think. Yusuf, we now take a track by another Turkish artist and one your dad introduced you to. And I wondered, what was your sort of relationship like with your dad?
Well, it was complicated. So I was a blind child. He'd hardly been to school because of the war that was going on in, well, I say the war, the intercommunal conflict, let's say. He was born in 1950. The fighting started around 55. From 60 to 63, there was peace. From 63 to 74, there was more violence. And he didn't have an opportunity for education. So I went away to boarding school at the age of five. That kind of disrupted our relationship. It was hard for him to understand me. His English wasn't great. It was okay, but it wasn't great. He was far more comfortable in Turkish or in fact in Greek as well. And I think he found it difficult that I was blind. I think he found it hard to kind of understand that there were going to be plenty of opportunities for me. I think he was worried about what might happen to me. He also found it hard to understand when I told him that I was gay, which was quite a difficult conversation. But despite all of that, every time I asked him for help, he gave it without a second thought. When I started going to Worcester, I was really nervous about traveling on the train. So I used to get my dad to come up with me on the train, and he'd do that. He'd come up on the train and he'd come back by himself. He died very suddenly at the age of 59 in 2010. And it brought up many, many memories. And one of them was him playing this particular cassette by Fedon. Now, Fedon, he's a Turkish national, but he's of mixed Greek and Armenian heritage, which kind of reflects on Turkey's Ottoman past, when Istanbul, when you could stand on the Galata Bridge in Istanbul and hear dozens, if not hundreds, of different languages. Mm. And Fedon sings in Greek and he sings in Turkish. And I think my dad liked Fedon because it reminded him of Cyprus and being little and speaking to his parents and grandparents in Greek. And when you listen to Fedon, we're going to listen to a Greek track, him singing in Greek. whether he sings in Greek or he sings in Turkish, it's an absolute native. He sounds as if he is either of them. And in fact, he's both. Again, like with Ibrahim Tatlıses, we would get this tape over and over again. And this one, and my pronunciation of the Greek is going to be appalling, it's Ego Kesi. And I can do better with the Turkish. The album, in fact, this song is called Ego Kesi, which is Greek, but the album itself is called Senin İçin, which is Turkish, which is for you, which I think is a lovely name for a track.
Fedon and Ego Kesi there. Your next track that you've chosen, Yusuf, is one from Radiohead, the album OK Computer, which I think everybody must have had and listened to back in the mid-1990s. What was it like hearing OK Computer for the first time?
It was mind-blowing. It was I think it was the first time I'd ever heard an album that you literally had to sit down and listen to from beginning to end. I'm not old enough to remember The Who and Tommy, which I think is another album like this, but it was just mind-blowing. And the second track, The Paranoid Android, which is not the track I've been able to select, but it was... it had so many wonderful sounds. As well as that, there was a track on this album that was just somebody speaking with sort of funny sounds behind it. It was just amazing. And yet there were tracks on it that were regular songs as well. The genius that, is Thom Yorke, and the rest of Radiohead was just, it was mind-blowing. This album came at a time in my life when I was at Worcester. I found it difficult to settle there because I'd been at Dorton for 11 years. I'd grown up at Dorton. Dorton was my second home. When you dream of the kind of home you'd like as a child, mine was always a house like Dorton House. With three floors and a dome, which isn't it's not a terribly realistic imagination, but then dreams are not really meant to be realistic, are they? And I came to Worcester and it was all right. I settled in, I got my A-levels, I made some really, really close friends. But Radiohead sometimes sad lyrics fitted my personality really well. I can be quite a miserable old git sometimes. I like their lyrics because of that.
And the track that you have chosen is Karma Police. I mean, you would have liked Paranoid Android, but I don't think we're going to fit that one in.
No, it's far too long. But if you haven't heard it, if there's anybody out there who hasn't heard it, go and have a listen to Paranoid Android. It is brilliant.
But when you do hear Karma Police, what sort of memories come back to you when you hear it?
Generally of that album and the time when... I think it was released in May of 97. So I was getting ready for my A-level exams. I was busily trying to revise, feeling slightly worried about what was going to come next in my life. And it was just a great way to escape all of that.
Karma Police there from Radiohead's OK Computer, which I think I probably wore out on CD listening to it. Your next track, Yusuf, is another one from a Turkish artist from your time growing up. And it's one by an artist who I think won Eurovision in 2003. Do you remember hearing the Eurovision track that they put out?
Oh, yes, I remember. So I started listening to Eurovision when I was young because my dad would watch it on the telly and we'd all have to listen. And it would always be, is Turkey going to do well this year? Because he would never support the Cyprus song. He never regarded the Republic of Cyprus as representing us as Turkish Cypriots. So he always supported Turkey. And Turkey never did very well. When they started having people call in to register votes, he would call up, and so would I, and Turkey would never win. And then in 2003, this wonderful singer, Sertab Erener, appeared. And I hadn't associated her with the woman who I'd heard singing infrequently, but from time to time when I was growing up. She wasn't, you know, as big a part of my life as, say, Ibrahim Tatlı Ses or Fedon were, but I had heard the odd song by her. And suddenly she turned up on Eurovision and she did that song, which everybody will remember, and she won. And I went and looked and I found she'd done all these other tracks before that. And of course, she went on to have, and is still writing songs to this day, producing wonderful songs. And it was kind of, 2003 was a very hopeful time. It was particularly for young Turkish people, because we had a government that was going to change things in Turkey. There was possibility of reunification in Cyprus. And then Turkey had begun its EU negotiations. And suddenly this Turkish singer won Eurovision and everything looked positive. Unfortunately, it didn't quite pan out that way. Cyprus wasn't reunited and Turkey has gone down a side alley of authoritarian government. But we still have Sertab Erener. And this particular song, it's beautiful. It's a lovely, sorrowful song.
Sertab Erener there, and another Turkish artist for you, Yusuf. For your next track, Yusuf, we take a trip across the pond to America and a track by Green Day. And I think this track means quite a lot to you, and it was when you were at Harvard. And I think those times weren't particularly great. Are you happy to sort of chat about them?
Yes. So Green Day, what a fantastic band. What a great singer. Billy Joe Armstrong's got one of those wonderful American voices. And I was introduced to Green Day by somebody who I accidentally met whilst I was at another friend's house, and they played Basket Case, which was one of their songs from the 90s. And I thought, wow, what a great band. And I went to America in 2002 to study at Harvard, which was it was a fantastic opportunity. Unfortunately, it didn't work out very well for me. I think I'd underestimated how much I depend on my family for support and how much I depend on that informal network of support that you build up when you live somewhere for a long time. And also when you live somewhere, well, when you live in a country for a long time, you learn about the sort of the ways of doing things that nobody tells you, the informal ways of doing things. So I went off to America, to Harvard, and I found things really, really difficult. I mentioned earlier that one of the difficulties between me and my dad was the fact that I'm gay. It was only whilst I was at Harvard that I finally kind of accepted that I was gay. And that was quite a difficult process to go through. I was feeling very lonely and very depressed at the time. And Green Day, you know, kind of kept me going. And when I came back, because this particular album, I think, was released in 2003. So after I came back, this particular song, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, kind of spoke to me as somebody who I'd always felt I was on my own. I had to take a road that nobody else was on. And it kind of, it spoke to me in a very personal way. I'd listen to it, and sometimes, you know, I'd start crying because of because of the way the song, the singer spoke to my soul. It's such a powerful song. It still means a lot to me even now. Although I've come to realize that I'm not on my own, and there are lots of people who have gone through the same thing, whether it's around, you know, their sexuality or suffering from depression. And yeah, I'm not alone. So that's what the song meant to me at the time. Now it's more, it's a kind of a reminder of what I have been through and the journey that I've taken. Of course, the album as a whole is a very angry album, because it was, you know, it came out around the time of the Iraq War. It was being written at the time when George Bush Jr. was determined to go to war in Iraq. There were lots of protests. And, you know, it spoke to so many people, me included, as a protest album. But it also affected me in a much deeper sense, particularly this, you know, the track of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I have to admit, when I came back from America, I did feel like I had failed, because I'd had this fantastic opportunity. It was, I had a Kennedy scholarship, which is a prestigious scholarship. Not many people get it, which would have paid tuition fees and maintenance and healthcare for 2 years for me to study at one of the world's most prestigious universities. The lecturers there were some of the best in their fields. And I, because of the way I was feeling, I lost interest in my passion, which was and still is Ottoman history. And for that reason, I had to come back to the UK. And whilst that was a deeply unhappy time, looking back on it, I learned so much about myself from that experience. And I went on to do an MPhil at Manchester in Ottoman history under a lecturer who had taught me before and who I had lots of respect for. And then I went on to do a PhD at SARAS under another lecturer who I grew to know quite well, who I developed liking for and a respect for. So, you know, things happen in life for a reason. And I suppose we have to try and take the positives. And whilst it can be hard at the time, later on, you can allow the negatives to pass and concentrate on the positives. And that's what I've tried to do. And this album reminds me of that period in my life.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Boulevard of Dreams there by Green Day for you, Yousef. Yousef, we now come to your final track, the one that you would like to pass on that might give people hope for the future. What is the track and why have you chosen it?
So this is Frank Turner, The Hymn of Cassiani. I came across Frank when I was, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was had the radio on, as you do, and this song came on. And I thought, this is a good singer. I've never heard him. He can hold a tune, he can sing, and he can play the guitar, and he writes good lyrics, which I think, you know, if you can do that, you've kind of managed the trinity in music, and he can. And his most recent album is called No Man's Land. And the idea behind the album was to write about 12 women who probably most people won't have heard of, but should have. And this track, The Hymn of Cassiani, is about a 9th century Greek Orthodox abbess in the Roman capital of Constantinople. And she had quite a fascinating life, initially as a girl in her late teens, maybe her early 20s, she was taken to the emperor's court and she took part in a ceremony at which the prince was to pick out his future bride. And he went up to her and selected her, and she refused him because it's thought she wanted to go into an abbey, a monastery, a nunnery. And she spent her life writing liturgical music, which is still sung in the Greek Orthodox tradition today. And Frank Turner turned her story into this song that we're going to listen to. And it's such a beautiful song about somebody who most people probably wouldn't have heard of, who lived in a place that, again, lots of people, you know, probably haven't heard of. And yet her life had such extraordinary consequences and meaning, to the point where if you're a Greek Orthodox Christian, you will still hear the songs that she composed to this day in your at the services that you attend, particularly in the period before Easter. And I find that such a positive thought, that, you know, sometimes we think we're going through life and not making any effect, any impact at all, but actually you never know what you do, how it might have an effect on someone else, and how that might have an effect long after you've gone.
Well, thank you very much, Yousaf Osman, for sharing your Tracks of My Life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed myself. I hope your listeners have as well.
I've heard that they call me the woman who's fallen into many sins. They made me bear myrrh to the burial, and at the graveside I began to sing.